Hello and a warm welcome to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. On a weekend filled with a few Group 1s, and we also have some jumps action returning at Chepstow, along with some complicated handicaps. Joining me on this week's show, as requested in the comments, I don't know whether Harry's seen this, but Harry Wilson is back on the show after a decent weekend of tipping. Harry, we had Duris in the Arc and Maranoa Charlie in the Foray. A good weekend for you.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all, Sam. Betting I've done in France previously, so it's good. I think it's my first Arc winner since Wall Guys beating Abel, so yeah, okay, glad to be on him.
A really good Arc winner. Jimmy, I'll come to you just with regards to the Arc. What did we make of the win? And we're obviously hoping to see him again next season.
Yeah, I thought he was a good winner. A good Arc, actually. The first two, clearly the best in the race. They finished well clear. Hopefully, we'll see him again next year. A lot of these Aga Khan three-year-olds are usually packed off to stud. But he's still quite lightly raced. Lightly raced at the top level, certainly. So there should be more to come from him. So hopefully he'll be around at four.
Absolutely. And there was a lot said, Ed Nixon, with regards to Minnie Hawk and whether she should or shouldn't have won it. Could she have been given a slightly better ride? What was your takings on the Arc this year?
Good race. Always is, as mentioned. They finished well clear, didn't they, of the third. And good performance. I mean, backed into favouritism, for the last 6 weeks. So I think obviously supporters have got that on their mind. I backed her as well, to be honest, Andy Post, and it kind of, you know, when you see the race, you think, oh, if only, but no, the right winner won and she ran a really good race.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really good Arc. Let us know down in the comments how you got on Arc weekend and what you did make of the race. And just looking at a few statistics from the Postcast recently, 55% of our viewers on YouTube are not subscribed to the channel. If you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button down below. Let us know that you're enjoying the show. Get those comments in and give the video a like. Right, let's get into the action then this weekend on ITV. And we're going to start off at Newmarket with the 3 o'clock, which is the Darley Dewhurst Stakes over 7 furlongs, Group 1 for the two-year-olds, where Distant Storm is joint favourite at the top of the market with Gustard at 9-4. Zavateri, this would be some story to have Eve Johnson-Horson win this race at 3-1. Oxagon's 13-2. Alfarsland's 11-1. Italy 11-1. Gowan is 16-1. Sabah Desert 25s. And Pacific Avenue is 40-1. A really, really good looking race, especially the top three in the market. Jimmy, I'll come to you first with regards to this race. Look, the top three, like I say, they're well clear looking at the ratings. What do we make of it?
Well, Distant Storm is like you said, well clear along with the other two. He won very impressively at Newmarket last time. And a handicapper raised him a whopping £14 for that victory. It was very impressive. I did think it fell into his lap a bit, and that is a massive rise. Still some £4 off Zavateri after his National Stakes win and £3 off Gustard. I personally would stick with the tried and trusted form of the National Stakes. I think three of the last four winners of the National who went on to run in this all followed up. So good stats for Zavateri. He's unbeaten. Very little between him and the runner-up. And I think the Johnson-Horton family, I think Eve Johnson-Horton's father won this twice, going way back in the past. So they've got a good track record here. He looks a tough customer and he would be the one I would side with.
I'd love to see Zavateri win it. It would be great. However, from a pocket perspective, I am on Distant Storm for the 2,000 guineas after he was beaten in the Acom Stakes at York. Got to remember, third in the Acom Stakes last year was Ruling Court. He went on to win the 2,000 guineas. And once again, this will see a Distant Storm third in the Acom and shortened up for the 2,000 guineas after a really decent win, the Tassel Stakes at Newmarket. However, Mr. Harry Wilson, before he jumps on the call, tried to put me off.
Yeah, I'm just not quite sure what that Newmarket form is worth, Sam. Like the second only won a handicap off mark of what, 83? It's not really guineas winning form, that run at Newmarket. I don't think the Acom was that strong this year either. Ruling Court's year, I think, was a bit of a stronger race than this year's running. I agree with Jimmy. I'd stick with the National Stakes. I was looking at this race trying to work out how it was going to be run. That one in Ireland, you knew the Ballydore pacemakers were in there. and I thought he was going to set the race up for Zavateri. I thought it was a really odd option by Ballydoll to run pacemakers in that race. But I'm struggling to find a lot of genuine pace in this race. And I think it could be worth sticking with the quicker horse. And I think that's Gestad. He's related to Van Dijk, who won the pre-morning in the Middle Park. He's probably going to be a sprinter in time rather than a guineas horse. And I think I'd stick with his speed in this particular race over Zavateri.
Gestad then to reverse the form from the National Stakes with Zavateri. Both of the gents are leaning towards the National Stakes form, Ed Nixon. Is that the way you're going?
Yeah, I think so. Tried and tested, top-class race, as has been mentioned. I mean, what is there not to like about Zavateri? 4 out of 4. Won his Group 1 last time. Highest rated horse in the race. And he's a price. I mean, he should be favourite, shouldn't he? I can't understand why he's not favourite. I do understand. It's because of the trainer, isn't it? And the other horses are trained by Aidan O'Brien and Charlie Appleby. So I think from the value point of view, from the form point of view, from the speed ratings point of view, and the fact he's unbeaten and we still don't know how good he possibly could become, I think you've got to be on Zavaretti at 3 to 1 or more.
Okay, there you go. 2 votes for Zavateri then in the Dewhurst and 1 vote for Gestad. I mean, I'll have to be the different one, and I do think the Distant Storm, especially Charlie Appy and William Buick at Newmarket, you can't ignore that. But I do think that we haven't seen the best of Distant Storm, and I think Newmarket definitely suits this horse a lot better than York did. But we'll just wait and see this week. And again, let us know down in the comments who you fancy for this year's Dewhurst Stakes. The second race we're going to look at, though, is going to be the big handicap of the week and the 3:40 at Newmarket, 2 mile, 2 furlongs for the Club Godolphin Cesarewitch handicap class 2 event, where Hip Hop de Loire and Alphonse Legrand are the 11-2 joint favourites. Reverend Hubert 6-1. Baylor Bay is 7-1. Bunting and Belgravian 15-2. Divine Comedy 11-1. 12-1 about Dawn Rising and Nadawi, and then 14-1 and bigger the rest in this race. I will come to you first this time, Harry Wilson. A difficult handicap to look at here. Always can get some shock winners of this race, but who do you fancy?
Yeah, it's a very difficult race, Sam, and one the Irish have dominated recently, especially with jumpers. There's a lot of jump horses that have won this race. I'm going to take them on, though. I'm going to go a bit of an outsider here and go with Surrey Bell for Adrian Keatley. She's done really well since joining Adrian Keatley in December. I think she's won 3 times over hurdles, only finished outside the first two once in 7 starts on the flat and over hurdles. And her last win on the flat was, well, it was emphatic. It was 8.5 lengths and she just bolted up from the front. That was over 1.5 miles. You sort of think, you look at that race and think, oh, it's probably not the strongest race. But the second came out and won the other day. Quite a good handicap, so I think the form's worth it. And she's due a £10 rise. She gets in here under a £4 penalty, so she's £6 well in as well. I couldn't really understand why she was 20-25 to 1. So that's my pick, Sam. Surrey Bell.
Surrey Bell, yeah, big price in this. And like I say, in the last 10 years, we've had some big winners, 50s, 25s, 14s, 33s last year. And Harry's mentioned there, Jimmy, that, you know, jumps trainers do have a good record in this. You know, Nicky Henderson won this with Buzz back in 2021. Willie Mullins has had plenty of winners of this race. Alan King back in 2015 with a 50-1 winner in Grumetti. Which way are you siding the Cesarewitch this year?
Yeah, I have to say, I think the jump trainers will dominate again, particularly the Irish ones. And Willie Mullins has got the best record of all, which is not surprising. Charles Burns, he's another trainer who's won this before. He saddles Reverend Hubert. Now, Reverend Hubert ran in the trial last month over course and distance, absolutely trotted up. That puts him with a £4 penalty for this, still leaving him £1 lower than when he ran in this race last year. He was only 8th. That day. I can't believe, given how well he won last month, that was his usual running. I think he was below par 12 months ago. And in any case, the ground is going to be better this time around, much more in his favour. He's as you talk about jumpers, I mean, he's a decent jump source, rated 137 over hurdles and 144 over fences. So a current mark of 83 still leaves him, I think, very well handicapped on the flats. And trainer's won this, as I mentioned before, very, very shrewd yard, knows how to plot one up for a big race like this. So I think Reverend Hubert should be clear favourite in my book.
Okay, Reverend Hubert then, 6-1 currently with Unibet for Jimmy Hill. I actually liked one who finished back in third in that trial at Newmarket, which was Belgravian, who I thought looked like a bit of a monster leading up to that Cesarewitch trial. I mean, went off 11-8 in that trial race, but look, he was being fairly comfy at Newmarket. I do think we could see a lot more off 96 this horse. I do know that the yard think quite a lot, and Nicola Curry takes the ride. I think she's going to get a good spin off Belgravian, who might just appreciate the softer going based on breeding. So we'll just wait and see. But yeah, I'll have the third Belgravian from that trial this year. Ed Nixon, we're expecting some extra places in a race like this from Unibet.
Yeah, and you won't be disappointed, Sam. Yeah, we are going extra place, as you would expect. Really difficult back end handicap. The only racer starts in one county and finishes in another. That's how long it is. And I'll tell you what, we've spoken about it, but there are more jumpers on display here than you find in a Marks and Spencer's menswear department. There are just so many of them. And you can see why, because you've just gone through the pantheon of winners over the last few years, that they are jumpers that come and win this prize. And Martin Dwyer once said to me, he loved getting on a hurdler over these staying distances, because what they do when they go jumping is they learn how to settle early part of the race. So horses that kind of progress from 7 furlongs, a mile and a quarter, mile and a half, 2 miles, they're kind of bred for speed, and they sometimes they can take a hold, and their race is sometimes run before the end of the contest. And Martin Dwyer just said he loved getting on the jumpers because they settled early on and you had something to go to war with. With that in mind, I think it's a really tricky race. I think you've got to go to Willie Mullins. Hip Hop De Loire has come fifth and sixth in the last two Ebors, still relatively well handicapped. One over Galway as well, over hurdles. I still think he's got potential. Rating of 106, 8 years young. Clifford Lee, who has been booting home the winners every Saturday since I can remember. I just think it's got a good chance. He is, you know, he does have to carry 9 stone 12, and there will be horses lurking around the bottom end of the handicap who might be coming there on the bridle late on. But yeah, I just think the class will get him home, and I always want to be with a jumper.
Go, yeah. At least we know where Ed Nixon gets his jumpers from now. It's good to know that. But Ed Nixon's going to be with Hip Hop Loire for Willie Mullins. You've then got Surrey Bell at a big price for Harry Wilson. And then we've got Reverend Hubert for Jimmy Hill in this year's Cesarewitch. Remember, extra places on offer with Unibet for this race. Other action from ITV, guys. We'll just kind of spin through, see if we've got any other fancies on the ITV card. We've got the likes of the Darley Stakes, the Zetland Stakes, and the Autumn Stakes on ITV this weekend. Jimmy, I don't know if there's any other fancies from you at Newmarket.
Nothing major, Sam. I'll give a mention to Gladius in the first race, the Darley Stakes. Three-year-olds have a pretty decent record in this. So I would prefer him from the classic generation. He was in the frame in the Strensel Stakes at York Seabourn meeting back in August. That form has been working out pretty well. He's progressive, reasonably lightly raced, so there should be more to come, and I think the ground's in his favour.
Okay, yeah, Gladys around 130 shot with Unibet. That's in the 115 at Newmarket Darley Stakes. Harry Wilson, anything else from you at Newmarket?
I'll give you one from each, Sam, if that's all right. Mm-hmm. In the Darley Stakes, quite like the look of First Conquest. I like the look of him on his reappearance, even though he was carrying a penalty. He's carried a penalty in his last two runs, but they've been right up there with his best, even though he's lost. That penalty has now been chalked off because of the time of year we're in. And I expect him to go very well at a course that he's won at before for William Buick and Charlie Appy. The second, I really like the look of Endorsement. His debut form behind Benvenuto Cellini got a massive form frank when that one bolted up in the Champions Juvenile Stakes at Leopardstown last month. He built on that when winning over a mile one at Tipperary next time, and that run can be marked up because he had to go around the outside. This extra furlong looks made for him, and he could be a very good horse for next year. And the final one will be Hankalo, Carl Burke, in the Autumn Stakes. I thought he looked the winner of the Flying Scotsman at Doncaster last time, only to be nabbed on the line. I think he's in need of a mile, and I think that will improve him, and I think he's got the strongest form in the race.
Okay, there we go then. So that's the 115 will be First Conquest for Harry Wilson. We then go to the 150, where we like Endorsement, And then in the 225, Hankalo, Carl Burke, and Clifford Lee in the same colours as the horse that won the Cambridge only a couple of weeks ago. So a few extra ones there at Newmarket from Harry. Ed, is there anything else you wanted to focus from the Flats HQ?
Yeah, I've got selection in each of the races, if that's okay. The first one we look at is the Darley Stakes, Group 3. I think Damizers can kind of come back and try to rebuild his career after finishing 18th, well, last in the Derby. Pulled really hard that day. I just watched the video before I came on, and his race was done when he got crowded in the home straight, but he was already done. He was pulling early on, and he was never going to win. And he won last time out in France, and that was quite a good performance in Deauville over this 1x1, which I think probably suits him more than a mile and a half. I think he can get his career back on track around about 2-1 for Wathnam Racing. The 150, which is one of my favourite races of the season, the Zetland Stakes. I remember, so I'm going to show my age again here, but I remember Bob's Return, Double Trigger, Double Eclipse, winning this before going on to run and winning staying races, group races, cup races. And I think the one thing about this race is that Aidan O'Brien doesn't do particularly well in it. He's had 11 runners this century, only two winners. And if I can read your horses that have been beaten in the last few years, his two winners were Norway and Kew Gardens, but he's had 11-8, a 2-1, a 2-1, a 9-4, and an 11-10 shot beaten. And this horse here, Endorsement, has been running in two maidens. One is last maiden. He's got, coming up to Group 3, obviously has a chance, but I'm going to go for a trainer that has a good record in the race, and that's Charlie Appleby. We've looked to the stars. He won it in 21, 22, 23. He's won 3 out of 7 this century, and I think Charlie Appleby's got another winner of this race. We've looked to the stars. That's in the Zetland Stakes. And in the 225, which is Autumn Stakes, another one of my favourite races. I think Nashwan won this, didn't he, as a two-year-old, I think. But I'm going to go again for the Appleby team and Al Zanati, who has only had one run, but was very impressive at Newmarket. I read in the Excellent Racing Post quote section that he's a horse for next year and they'll take baby steps. Well, they're coming up here for a Group 3, so it must have been pleasing at home. And they'll obviously put him away after this race for middle distances races next year. But Charlie Appleby and Godolphin do extremely well in this race. Charlie Appleby's won 5 from 10 horses that he's run this century. Syed Bin Saror's won 2 from 3 with Godolphin. So Godolphin love it. Al Zanati is a horse full of potential. And I think he's got a great chance. Incidentally, the Zetland Stakes, we're going industry best price. So from midday on Saturday, you won't get a better price anywhere else in the village on that Autumn Stakes. Zetland Stakes.
Well, there you go, the Zetland Stakes. That's at 150 at Newmarket. And Ed Nixon fancy look to the stars in that Zetland Stakes. Harry Wilson with Endorsement. And then, in that 115, gents, it looks like we've got it quite well covered there with Damius, Gladius and First Conquest there. We've got the first three in the market. So I'll be disappointed.
One of us has got to win it, Sam, surely.
Someone's got to have the winner. I should probably tip up the fourth in the market, shouldn't I? No, I'm joking. But, hopefully I have the winner there. We're going to get on to York shortly after this. Welcome back to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Race Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart here alongside Harry Wilson, Jimmy Hill and Unibet's Ed Nixon going through the big ITV races and soon some Chepstow action as well. We move on to York now, where we start off with the 130, which is the Coral Rockingham Stakes, a listed race over 6 furlongs for the 2-year-olds. A very different looking race to the Dewhurst, with Division as the 11-4 favourite. Flowerhead is 6-1. Comical Point 13-2, along with Flying Comet. Rydell Frosty's 10-1. Blackstar Boy 12-1. Boston Dan also 12-1. Lightning Polka 12-1. 14s bar these. Some more exposed 2-year-olds here, Harry Wilson, bar the favourite, who we might not have seen the ceiling of as of yet.
Yeah, there's It's always difficult this time of year because you have, as you say, 2-year-olds who have sort of been outclassed, if you will. They've been tried at the higher level and they're coming back in grade. Division has that feel of that sort of improving 2-year-old who, as you say, we haven't seen the best of him yet, and he could be just late developing. They've taken their time, and he could be a lot better than he has showed. Although, I don't know. He's won two novices at odds on. They obviously think a lot of him, but I wouldn't be with him in this instance. I'm going for a similarly lightly raced one in Lightning Polka. Like she, she finished down the field in the Group 3 at Ayr last time, but that came on soft ground. She was really impressive on her debut, quickened up really, really nicely in the colours of the King. She's well-bred. She's a half-sister to Light Refrain, who won the Group 3. And I think getting back on better ground will see her in a better light. So that's Lightning Polka for me, Sam.
Lightning Polka for Harry Wilson. Then moving on to Jimmy Hill for your selection, please, in the Rockingham Stakes.
Yeah, well, I mean, the division is a hot favourite. And if you went with our trainer form in this race, you could see why. Well, I mean, William Haggis has got a very good record here. He's won two of the last four runnings. But I still think the division's a very short price for what he's actually achieved on the track. And therefore, I prefer to look for something with a bit more form in the book. And Flying Comet certainly sets the standard. He's a top rated on what he's done so far. Still seems to be improving relatively. I mean, he finished third in what I thought was a pretty hot Mill Reef Stakes at Newbury last time. And earlier in the summer, he was second to the subsequent Jim Crack winner, very impressive Jim Crack winner, Life Plan. He gave him £10 on that occasion, so that looks really good for him. First, also a very similar track, I think, to York, so the Naismar should suit him. And he's won two of his other four outings. So I think he's a solid play in this.
Okay, there you go. Another different selection there in the Rockingham. And Ed Nixon, are you going to match up with any of the guys or something different?
Yeah, no, I'll be jumping for joy if Division wins this. I think he's a colt full of potential. We're still learning about Division, and Division is still learning about the game. Some doubts whether he might need softer ground. But he's three runs, two wins. He's already got a high rating. He can only improve. Comes from the excellent stable of William Haggis, who doesn't overraces or overfaces two-year-olds, or these sort of two-year-olds anyway. I just thought he's probably the most sensible bet in the race. He is the favourite, so I'm not saying anything that anybody else doesn't know. But one thing I would say that maybe some people don't know is that we're going money back second or third in this race, our flagship offer. So if you do fancy a bet in this race, do bet with Unibet. You will get your money back as a free bet if you finish second or third.
Yeah, money back second or third. Division, just he does look really solid, doesn't he, at the top of the market. His form figures read well. Like we say, he's not very exposed at all, so we might not have seen the best of him as of yet. And currently, like I say, he's around a 3-1 shot with Unibet, and money back second or third, great offer there. With regards to Division in the Rockingham Stakes, the next race that we look at is York's big handicap, which is the Coral Sprint Trophy handicap. And look, we've got a real open-looking market here with Bin Hurrah again. William Haggis and Tom Marquand around 4-1 for this race here. Northern Ticker is 13-2. Glen Eagle Bay is 9-1. Hammer the Hammer is 9-1. Eternal Sunshine 11s. Eye of Dubai 11s. Rousing Encore 11s. So Yoshi 12-1. Blue Storm, been waiting for this horse to run some softer ground, is currently 14-1. Dark Cloud Rising 14-1. Purest Time, Uncle Donald 14-1, 16s, bar these. I should probably include Comanche Falls at 16-1 as a bit of a sprint handicap. Legend in there as well. A real difficult looking race. Maybe not as difficult, potentially as difficult as the Cesarich Jimmy Hill. Who do we fancy in the sprint handicap?
I actually think this is tougher than the Cesarich, Sam. These sprint handicaps, we've had so many of them this season and so many different horses winning. It'll all depend on the draw, I think, where the best ground is, and horses in the best sort of form. A lot of them have had long seasons. Northern Ticker hasn't had too much racing. He won over this course and distance at the Ebor meeting back in August. Well fancied for the Air Gold Cup last time and finished sixth. I thought that was a perfectly good run from what was probably the wrong side of the track. So he's only £3 higher than for that York win at the Ebor meeting. And because he doesn't have the penalty here, £2 lower than what he was at Air. I think York's a more suitable track for him. As I said, he's had quite a light campaign, so he should have a bit more energy left for the autumn than most. And he's got the form in the book.
Absolutely, he has. And I thought that win at York back at the back end of August was quite a decent performance as well. Actually beat Comanche Falls that day. Harry Wilson, who do we fancy in the Coral Sprint Trophy?
Yeah, when I was thinking it's better to be drawn low in these sprint handicaps at York. But I'm going to disregard my own thoughts because there's quite a lot of pace drawn high. You've got the likes of Sergeant Wilco in 20, Eternal Sunshine in 18, Jordan Electric's in 15. And I'm hoping that plays into the strengths of Uncle Don. who again has had very little racing this year. He really caught the eye for me at Chester after being gelded. Like the form figures, they don't make for great reading, but if you actually watch the race, he pulled really hard after missing the break, and he finished really well, and he only got beat about two lengths by the second. So it was a really good return, and last time he just got absolutely no luck at all. And that was behind Rear Line, who was the anti-post favourite for this handicap. Yeah. If you watch it back, he's sitting there on the bridle with nowhere to go for like two furlongs. And he's clearly got a lot of horse under him. The third went close next time. So I think the form's pretty solid. I think he's just unexposed. His best form's a two-year-old, came at this time of year. If the draw isn't a worry and he gets that pace to aim at on the highs, in the high numbers, I think he'll be really hard to beat.
Uncle Don then, yeah, Richard Fahey and Oisin Orr taking the ride. I think Oisin Orr, superb rider, goes under the radar a fair bit, but I do think he's a top quality flat jockey and a young jockey at that. Ed Nixon, like I said, I always like to get extra place in big handicaps, and you'll always deliver for me, won't you?
Yeah, you've got an extra place, 22 runners declared, so yeah, it's only fair. And it's a really difficult race, so I love having a bet in these sort of races, but I don't think I'm going to this time. I do like the fact that our guru Harry Wilson has said that a high drawn horse might win, because I kind of fancied Eternal Sunshine, who's done it already, won the Portland off 83 or 84, was off 88 today. Lauren Young is a regular jockey and did exceptionally well last time to stay on and two runs back went in the air Bronze Cup when they finished third. But the last time he came third, and that was in soft ground. He's not from two on soft. He's actually 8 from 15 on good and 2 from 5 on firmer. So I think if it's soft, I would be worried. But I wouldn't be worried about that performance last time out because of the ground. Eternal Sunshine in what is a really difficult race. I won't be having a bet, though, but that's the one I'll be hoping wins.
Yeah, it is a really tough race. Ed Nixon won for him, Eternal Sunshine. But yeah, we'll give a shout out next week on the show if anyone in the comments can put the winner of the Coral Sprint Trophy handicap down below. So do, if you do have a fancy, let us know. And just before we came on, we were all quite keen to have a little selection, the 205 as well, which is a 10 furlong handicap class 2 event. I'll go to you first, Jimmy, who you seem quite keen to have one in this.
Yeah, quite an open race, this one. So I had a good old think about it. And there was a horse that, the more I thought, actually, this one's really quite interesting here. It's Champagne Prince. This is Grey of Jane Chapel Himes, who we know better for its exploits on the All Weather, where he's rated £10 higher. However, he's been gelded this summer, and since then, he's been really running quite well on turf. And just has looked like he could do with a drop back in trip, which he gets here. He ran really well in the Ebor meeting in August over a mile and a half, hitting the front and just fading late on. He's on the same mark for that effort. And as I said, if you go on his all weather form, he's really quite well handicapped. So he's been looking in good shape since he's been gelded. And I'm hoping this shorter distance will really play to his strengths.
Okay, yeah. No, yeah, I've just had a little flick through the race. It's a really fascinating little contest. Ed Nixon, you're also quite keen for one in the 205.
Yeah, I might be losing my mind, but I really fancy Insanity here. I think he's got a really good back form. He's a progressive individual. He won at Ayr back in June, I think, and since then he's run in 3 heritage handicaps and run quite well in the last two. A bit unlucky last time not to win. Still okay handicap based upon that, and I thought had a good chance here. Alan King and these colours won the Cesarich with Grumetti, didn't they? Was it Grumetti? Back in the day, I think it's Grimetti. So it'll be, you know, again, these colours hopefully will come to win on this day. But here, instead of Zarich, it'll be the 205 at York, I think, around about 4-5 to 1.
Yeah, Insanity there for Ed Nixon. Harry Wilson, you can guide us to winning the 205.
Yeah, I'm going to side with Per Contra here, Sam. The wide draw again, bit of a worry. This one put up a career best last time at Newcastle. He travelled lovely and absolutely bolted up on the all-weather. He has put up his best 3 figures on the all-weather, but it doesn't mean he can't win on turf. He went close here at the Ebor meeting where he hung his chance away. He's been a lot more straightforward since wearing cheek pieces the last twice. And I don't think a £6 rise for last time is beyond him. So that's per contra for me.
Per contra, yeah, around a 9-1 shot for the 205s. Yeah, three races there covered at York. I'll tell you what, I'm going to go straight in now rather than going to an ad break, straight in and just get the jumps done and dusted, because Chepstow is making a return this weekend, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, the Welsh Racing Festival down there. We've got some great racing, especially on Saturday and Sunday. We've got the Silver Trophy Handicap Hurdle, the Native River Handicap Chase. We've got a Listed Novices Chase on Sunday, the Welsh Champion Hurdle. The jumps are returning, and our MC down there at Chepstow is Ed Nixon. Ed, look, the jumps are finally back. We saw Nico de Boinville return earlier in the week on the expensive one, winning a decent little race. We're back.
Yeah, we are back, and it's great to be back. Obviously, Chepstow runs flat racing through the summer, but it really has top-class chasers and hurdlers at the course during the autumn and the winter. And it's just great to be back. It is the very first Welsh Racing Festival. It's 3 days. It normally is 2 days, but this time it's 3 days. The Welsh Champion Hurdles come back to Chepstow, where it was born, had been at Fosslass. So that'll be on the Sunday. And we kick off with the Persian War on the Friday, which is always won by a good horse. And then we've got some really good racing on the Saturday. Some great horses run at this meeting. I mean, Altior started his long winning run over hurdles and fences here. Ran over hurdles for the first time with Nico de Boinville. But horses that get beat, that we don't realise they're going to be good. Clan de Obo came fourth in the Robert Mottram chase. Silviano Conti finished third in the Robert Mottram chase. On my research, I thought that Lisnagar Oscar got placed at this meeting. Plenty of other horses. T for Two. Native River won here. And obviously you've got horses like Unexpected Party, who went on to win at Cheltenham last year, who won at the meeting 12 months ago. And Grand National winners, Comply or Die, and Don't Push It, have run at this meeting. So it's a great meeting, and there's some great races. Yeah, fantastic racing. I'm really looking forward to it.
Is there any big fancies for you at the weekend, Ed?
Yeah, there are. I do fancy one in the Robert Mottram, which is on the Saturday. On the Sunday. The race is now sponsored by Tom Malone, who's a great supporter of Chepstow. But it's listed as the Robert Mottram. Robert Mottram was the head groundsman back at Chepstow. He started in 1975 directly out of school, and he was there until he unfortunately and rather tragically died of cancer at the age of 50 in 2010. So this race was incorporated to in the memory of him. The first winner was Cue Card back in 2011, and there's been some really good horses that have won this race in years gone by. Really, as I say, good horses have lost in this race as well, like Clan de Obo. So it's a really good race. And I think we're going to have to actually see some nice performers in it this year. Wendigo is the one I'm really looking forward to seeing in the Robert Mottram. Fifth at Cheltenham, didn't he, in the Albert Bartlett. Second in the Challow, I think, at Newbury. He's always looked to chase. I spoke to Jamie Snowden last year about him. They've always been waiting for send him over a fence. And he could be one of the top novices this year. So, yeah, that'll be my number one selection on Sunday anyway.
Yeah, I like the look of Wendigo in that race. Well, I think Wendigo's a nice looking horse to go over fences. Jimmy Hill, you're excited for the jumps to return. You got any fancies at Chepstow this weekend?
I certainly do. This is definitely the start of the jumps for me. I mean, I'm really looking forward to the 3 days that we've got ahead. Best bet of the 3 days, I would say, is probably in the 4 o'clock on Saturday, what used to be called the free handicap hurdle. I think Static is really well handicapped here. When he came over from France as a three-year-old last season, he was allotted a rating of 129. He's now down to a mark of 120, despite what I thought was a pretty good season, first season in Britain over hurdles. Ran some good races. He ran really well in the Fred Winter at the Cheltenham Festival when he probably hit the front far too soon off what was a very strong pace, just faded a bit up the hill, but he wasn't beaten far at all. And that's good form. I mean, we've seen recently, Put Your Hands Together, the winner, that went to one of the Irish Cesarewitch. And the eighth, Mercia, went on to win at Aintree in a grade one. Well, Static was a place ahead of her in the Fred Winter. He's back here having just had a wind up. This is his first run back. As I said, he's down to a mark of 120, and regular rider Charlie Maggs is claiming 5. So if he's straight enough, I'm hoping he's going to run really well here. Just one other. As Ed said, it's now 3 days this meeting. In the 132, the opening race on Sunday, AJP Kingdom is entered there. He finished second at Utoxeter last time, and I thought he was really crying out for a bit further that day. And he gets the extra 2 furlongs here. This is over 3 mile 2. And his record over 3 mile 2 or further reads really well. He's had a win, 2 seconds and a third from 4 starts. So stamina is clearly his forte. He's a good, solid jumper. And he's dropping down in grade off the same mark here as well. So I'm hoping he's going to go well for Fergal O'Brien in the opener on Sunday.
Yeah, so it's the opener on Sunday. And then it was the 4 o'clock on Saturday with Static for Jimmy Hill. Harry Wilson, selections for the jumps, please.
Yeah, let's cover all 3 days, should we? I'll give you one for Friday. Comes in the Veterans Chase, Lord Accord. He's not the most regular winner this season, but he's improved his RPR with each run, which I quite like to see. His last run at Cartmel came behind a horse called Oliver's Travels, who bolted up next time, so the form looks pretty solid. And this is his time of year. 7 of his 8 wins have been achieved between September and December. So we're coming into his prime time. And he's on the same mark as when bolting up by 16 lengths last year. This is his first taste of veterans company. And I just think he'll improve for it, taking on more exposed horses than the 7-year-old he faced last time. And I'll give you another one on Saturday in the 2:10. It's a novice handicap chase, and it's Ben Solo. For Rebecca Curtis. Now, this horse won at this meeting last year on Persian War Day, and he won really well, beating a horse called Bo Quali. He didn't win for the rest of the season over hurdles, but anything he did over hurdles was always going to be a bonus. You know he likes to course and distance. He's going to be even better jumping a fence. His dam is closely related to Altior, if that floats your boat. And I think he's going to really improve for fences. So that's Ben Solo in the 2:10 on Saturday.
Okay, Ben Solo 2:10 Saturday, and then Lord Accord in the Veterans Chase tomorrow. For those early viewers of the podcast, you can have a look at that, around 5-1 for that race there. Look, don't worry, the flat is still continuing. You've still got Champions Day, you've got the Breeders' Cup, Maidan, I'll be back soon. Look, the booze, I can hear the booze coming through the screens at this moment in time. And Champions Day, obviously next week, I'll talk about that in just a minute. But there are the selections from York and Chepstow from the gents. And we're going to get the best bets shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcard. Sam Hart, Harry Wilson, Jimmy Hill and Ed Nixon now giving our best bets for the weekend. And best bets wise, we've done quite well in recent weeks with some of these best bets. Hopefully we can land a few once again. I'm going to kick off with you, Harry Wilson, to give your best bet this week.
Yeah, I'm going to go big, Sam. I'm going to go for the big sprint trophy at York. I'm going to go Uncle Don. There's a lot of pace around him. He looks well handicapped to me. Really eye-catching run at Haydock last time. And he usually performs best this time of year. And I just think he's really well handicapped. Uncle Don in the sprint trophy.
Uncle Don around a 14-1 selection to kick things off. Jimmy Hill, your best bet, please.
Yeah, that'll be Reverend Hubert in the Cesarewitch at 3:40. Like I mentioned, he was disappointing in the race last year, but I'm hoping we'll see the real Reverend Hubert this time. We did in the trial last month, and on that evidence, he's still really well treated.
Okay, Reverend Hubert around 6-1 for the Cesarewitch on Saturday. I'm going to go to the Autumn Stakes at 2:25. I actually think the horse called New Zealand, Freydon O'Brien, will outrun his odds at around 8-1. He beat Isaac Newton at the Curragh last day, and Action was actually back in third. I thought Action ran a really decent race behind Bo Echo in this year's Royal Lodge. Aidan won this last year with Delacroix. He does have a horse called Straight Up in here who has won his sole start, but I do think New Zealand at around 8-1 will outrun the odds. And Ed Nixon, you're going to finish off us off with your best bet, please.
Yeah, I really love the Zetland Stakes, the 10-furlong 2-year-old contest at Newmarket, 150 this year. Charlie Appley's got a great record, winning 21, 22, 23. and he saddles Look to the Stars, who's unbeaten since he's been gelded and won a race that I always remember as being a great race back in the day. I think Shergar, Hembit, Umphawayne, they all won it. He won it last time, the Hayes, Hansen and Clark. So he's got the form in the book. He's probably the best horse in the race. And the stable love to win the Zetland Stakes. So Look to the Stars for me.
There we go. Look to the Stars for Ed Nixon. You can see all of our naps on screen now. These will be boosted by Unibet. So do head to unibet.co.uk for all of these. And remember, there are plenty of offers with Unibet this weekend. So do check them out. James Stevens, he'll be back next week on the show for what's going to be Champions Day. Possibly, in my opinion, the best singles day flat racing in the UK calendar. I might be wrong there, but I genuinely love this day. And I believe we have an extra race as well this year with a two-year-old race being added to the card. Look, I think bookmakers, Ed, I will just quickly come to you, but bookmakers might fear the John and Fady Gosden treble this year, which will be on Budsman, Trawlerman and Field of Gold. They're going to be quite hot next Saturday.
Yeah, they are. They are. And I actually don't like this meeting because it comes at the end of the season on soft ground and all the form's on being on good ground that most of these champions run over. And I always find it, A, impossible, but B, I know they can't because it's the end of the season. There's nowhere else to put it. But I just wish Champions Day was somewhere else in the calendar. I really do. Because they have great horses running, but some of them just can't cope with the soft ground. So I don't know what the going is going to be. But I think it'll be heavy going for the bookmakers anyway, if those three do win, that's for sure.
It certainly will. Yeah, look, I don't know what the ground is going to do. We traditionally expect soft ground, Jimmy, at Champions Day, back end of October. But it looks like we might have some good conditions heading towards next Saturday. Is there a horse that you're looking forward to seeing next week?
Oh, Field of Gold, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think the ground is not going to be too bad this year. Traditionally, it's usually a bit of a bog, but sometimes they actually have to run out on the hurdle course. But this year, the weather's set fair by the looks of it, and we're going to get some quite decent ground, which hopefully means that the class rises to the top. And I don't think you get any classier than Field of Gold. I mean, it hasn't been a vintage flat season, I don't think. But that day, when I saw him win the Craven, I thought, yeah, that's a good horse. And he was brilliant at the Curragh. He was brilliant at Ascot. Obviously, wasn't himself at Goodwood, but he's been given a break, and hopefully they've got him back to his best, and we'll see him in his best.
Yeah, I really do hope so. Hopefully we do get to see him. If the ground does come up quick enough, I'm sure he'll be running. And Harry Wilson, we know you love an anti-post bet, and I'm sure you've had an anti-post bet for Champions Day. What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, the only one that I've had so far, Sam, is Flora Bermuda in the Champions Sprint. I think if there's ever a horse that deserved the Group 1, it's her. And she was beaten half a length in the race last year. She ran really well in the King Charles or the Queen Elizabeth Jubilee at Royal Ascot, third behind Lazat and Santono, the Japanese horse. And if you look at her run last time in the Sprint Cup, again, she was right there, only conceding first run to a horse who would bang on the rail when that's where he needed to be. I'll be doing a rain dance for her anyway. She hasn't had soft ground since that Champions Day. And I really hope she can finally get her head in front.
Yeah, I'm sure bookmakers are also fearing that Sprint Watnam winning that. I think they've got Lazat, Kind of Blue and Flora of Bermuda all running, who all, in my opinion, have major chances in the race. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Next week's show, we'll have Graham Robway and Tom Park. They are two people who are big fans of this meeting, so look forward to them being back. James Stevens will be back in the hosting chair. As always, a big thanks to my panel this week, Harry Wilson, Jimmy Hill and Ed Nixon, and big thanks to producer Bell, who's producing this week's show. Do like, comment, share and subscribe. Let us know you're enjoying the show, and we'll see you again next week.